Danger Dan here in the talk shop. December 21st, a few days away from Christmas. Hope everybody's ready for that. Might hear this while you're on your way to your big Christmas party this weekend. Go see your family or wherever you may be road tripping for the holidays. I hope everybody's got some good plans lined out, and I hope everybody has a good Christmas. Mine should be good. Just going to my pops' house. Trying to fucking wrap this job up in Alito. Doesn't look like I'm going to be as far along as I thought. It's all right. There's a chance we'll probably be done with the majority of it by the new year. Man, I hope everybody liked last week's episode as much as I did. Because Bacon fucking cracked me up. That dude was funny. I'm glad I went down there and met him. I got some good feedback from that one. Can't believe I just got a text message up here. I don't normally have any fucking service in my shop. But it is December. It's a little chilly in here. It's like 5:20 this morning. Not much progress made in the shop this week. It's a fucking wreck right now. I got some guy. I think he's going to come over tonight. Eric Bear Candy. Take some pictures of the shop. So we can forward those on to Chop Cult. Reach out. Maybe get some more listeners. Find some other people that are interested in fucking listening to the people that I have in here. So I went on the road again this last week and saw Oliver Pecker over in Dallas. It wasn't last week. It was 2 weeks ago. We did it at 2:00 in the afternoon. I was having a hell of a day at the job. We were trying to get ready to pour some concrete the next morning, and it wasn't looking good. The city wanted me to bring the engineer out that drew the drawings to come out and get him to sign off on it. My dealings with that engineer haven't been fucking, I mean, they haven't been bad, but, you know, he hasn't been Johnny on the spot by any means. But this concrete company had this fucking gangster, man. He'd show up at the job after all the other guys were working, and he would just sit in his pickup. And the first day I got there, he was inside, and this dude looked like he was definitely a fucking biker. he told me later on, once I figured out who he was and why the fuck he was at my job, that he had just had some meetings with the Banditos, and they'd given him permission to start his own club, and he was stoked, man. He was ready to fucking bring me in. He wanted me to go right around, and if I wanted to patch, that was something that we could work out. But anyway, so when I needed that fucking engineer to come out there, I called him up. He didn't fucking answer me. He'd been responding better for me through email, so I fucking sent him an email and just assumed that he wasn't going to be out that day. But once old Jerry got his number, I think he called him up and made him an offer he couldn't refuse, and that motherfucker showed. He came out that night, okayed it, sent me a fucking stamped, what do you call it? He signed off on the fucking job, man, and they poured the concrete that next morning at 5. But on the way to Pecker's, man, I was dealing with all this shit, and I didn't realize how much doing the shows in the evening, like, gives me time to disconnect from the day, you know, and my head wasn't in it. I showed up, and Oliver was like, so what are we going to talk about? And I was like, man, huh? Whatever, which is normally my game plan. Like, I never really have, like, a, you know, generally, I got a handful of questions that I want to ask, and I had those too for Oliver, but I hadn't gotten there yet in my head. But anyways, we bullshitted for a while. We did our thing, and I got, it was a good one. We talked about a bunch of shit that I didn't know about, learned a lot about them. We know we've got some mutual friends, and we've hung out before, but never had I got to sit down and talk to him like that. And it went good. And I left there, and on my way back to Fort Worth, I started thinking about all the shit that I was going to ask him that I didn't fucking ask him. So I hit him up pretty soon after and was like, hey, dude, we're going to have to do that again. I fucking dropped the ball on some shit. And while I was having all these thoughts, since I had left the job and went to Dallas, I was in my pickup, my 3/4-ton Dodge. And I happened to be on the phone with Kenny. And God knows what the fuck we were talking about. But while I was on the phone with him, I filled my diesel truck up with fucking super. Didn't realize it. I just fucking plugging away, talking on the phone, put gas in my diesel, got on the fucking highway and headed back towards the job. And all of a sudden that fucking thing started running funny. I was like, Kenny, I gotta go. Something's wrong. I thought it fucking sounded like a U-joint or something in the drive line had gone out. And was just, it wasn't fucking good. And I hung out with him, called up one of my other friends who I thought was going to be pretty close by. Turns out he wasn't. But as I was on the phone with him, the memory ran through my head that I had just clicked the super button and realized exactly what I had done and got pulled off. And there you have it. My head was up my ass that day. Oliver was having a housewarming party at his fucking new house that evening that I was planning on going out to. But once I did that, fuck, I was just done for the day. I was just done. Now, Oliver's house is unlike any I've ever seen. He's calling it the Pecker's Playhouse, the compound. It's a warehouse. You pull up and there's this gate with the fucking anchor on it. Gate opens up, you go in the back, and it's in the warehouse district. There's warehouses on every side of it, and it's a warehouse that he built his house inside of, and it's too fucking cool, really. I've seen the barn dominiums, where people build a metal barn-looking building, and then they build their house inside of it. And that's kind of what this was, except for it was a big-ass fucking warehouse. And in the living room where we did this podcast, there's a stage, there's a life-size Simpsons couch with all the fucking life-size Simpsons on them. I mean, bigger than life, really. Those are fucking some big-ass characters. We sat in this little dining booth that was like tucked into the wall. And next to us was a van that was in the wall that you could like get inside the van. Anyways, it was too fucking cool. All the hallways were putting greens. You could start in the kitchen and there was like putters, not like the putters you find in your golf bag, but the putters you find at fucking Putt-Putt, man. Hanging on the wall, different sizes. You got your balls. That's the beginning of hole one. It was really fucking cool. And I thank you, Oliver, for having me out. We're going to do that again. Maybe we'll do it. Maybe we might wait till before the throwdown, or we'll get the throwdown built up. That's in September. I might not even be able to wait that long. We might have to do two before the throwdown. We'll see. We'll just see how it goes. But it was a fun one. So, now last week, Kyle, I didn't hear anything from Kyle, and it was like Tuesday night. I was like, man, what the fuck, I better hit him up so he doesn't forget to shoot us a song for this week. And he did. Now, yesterday, he sends me one like early in the day, and I was thinking, God, man, he's fucking Johnny on the spot this week. And I, for some reason, I was thinking it was days away before he needed to send that in. And then last night, I realized, fuck, I got to do a fucking podcast in the morning. And I felt like shit the past week. Just like, can't get to the right temperature. I'm fucking hot, too cold, back and forth. Just like fucking sinus pressure. I'm feeling a lot better this morning. I don't know if it's because I've drinking a bunch of coffee in the past 30 minutes or, I mean, I got to be getting better at this point, so. But anyways, let's hear what Kyle's got to say, because he's got something that ties into this show this week.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Kyle here. Thanks for tuning in this week again to Danger Dan's Talk Shop. This is the, I guess this would probably be the Christmas edition, I guess, since it's coming up this weekend. So I hope you guys had a great week, and I'm sure you guys are getting ready for Christmas as I am. Hope you guys are staying warm. What a gnarly cold front we had down here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex this past weekend. I know it's straight up Arctic tundra everywhere else in the country, but I got a cool week this week. I know our guest is Oliver Peck, and I wanted to kind of tie in a song this week and kind of do some storytelling about my relationship with Oliver. And I've known Oliver for quite a bit now. I don't know how many years I've known him. I bet it's been at least almost 10 years that I've known Oliver. I've gotten tattooed by him. I've hung out with him at his house parties. Just a really great guy, a really unique individual, probably one of the most hardworking, driven people that I've ever met. And really honestly inspired me a lot whenever, you know, before Mothership even existed, to, really just motivate myself a lot more than I actually was at the time to create something, to be something, to be somebody. But before Mothership, and after the band that I played in before Mothership was a band called Break Vegas, we actually, I got together with Oliver. And we started the Ramonas, which is a all drag queen Ramones cover band. And I remember when he came up to me and asked me if I wanted to be a part of it. And it was Adam Schultz was on guitar, and Oliver was Joy Ramona, so he did the singing duties, and I was Dee Dee Ramona. So I did the bass and sang a little bit. And he threw the idea out to me, and I was immediately into it. I've never done any sort of cross-dressing weird shit like that, and I just knew it was going to be cool. I knew if Oliver was involved, it was going to be a party. That's one thing that Oliver is known for, is he's definitely the biggest party animal for the most sober dude I've ever met in my life. Legendary house parties this guy would throw. I mean, I can't even begin to describe how many hours of my life I spent hungover on Oliver Peck's floor on a Sunday or Saturday morning after one of the biggest parties of my life. And the great thing about his house parties was they were always after parties. So we'd all be out, you know, tearing it up, and then the after party would start at, you know, 2:33 in the morning, and it would feel like it was 8 o'clock, 9 p.m. with how many people were at this place. But I remember the starting the Ramonas, and it was a lot of fun, and we jammed, and you know, just being able to play Ramones songs was just really cool. You know, I've always been inspired by the Ramones, and Yeah, it was just really cool to be playing these songs, and they were live, and it was loud, and we were playing them, and we had them tight, and it was cool, and so it was very cool to see that the Ramonas still exist today. I saw they played Vegas recently, and I have no idea how many members have been in the Ramonas since my days, but I know that they still play parties, so you know, definitely have to look them up. The first show we played was in Dallas. I can't even remember the name of the bar that it was at, but this place was packed to capacity. I can't even think of the year right now. But it was really cool, and so we had a really good response with that. Oliver got hit up about playing some parties, and one of them was out in Los Angeles. I remember Oliver saying, "Hey, man, you know, we got to go out to L.A. and play this at the Key Club. You know, do you think you can make it out?" Well, I couldn't afford a plane ticket at the time. The only thing that me and Adam, the guitar player, could afford was a Greyhound ticket. So that ended up being one of the gnarliest trips of my life. If you've ever been on a Greyhound, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't and you want to live and do something insane, take a Greyhound trip somewhere. But anyways, we got to L.A., played the show. It was killer. Just a lot of fun in those years, having a great time playing Ramon songs, man. Hopefully one day we'll get it all back together, do maybe an original lineup Ramones gig. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I just want to go ahead and play a Ramones tune. I think it goes well with today's show. Having Oliver on. Hope you guys have a happy holiday. Hope you have a Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Thanks for listening to me talk and play some tunes. You guys kick ass. And I will talk to you again next week off of their 9th studio album, Animal Boy. Here is Ramones with Bonzo Goes to Bitburg. See ya! Really bothered me.
So speaking of things that I didn't ask Oliver that I wanted to, that was one of them. I think me and Kyle touched on it on the podcast we did, and if you haven't heard that, scroll back in your podcast feed and check out the episode I did with Kyle Jewett. Thanks, Kyle, for doing the fucking music bit every week. It's a great touch. I'm enjoying it. I know everybody else has. We've gotten some good feedback. And that's good shit. And speaking of Oliver and house parties, you know, I missed the house party that he had the night we did the podcast. But the next night, he had a Christmas party that was fucking, it was awesome. I mean, one of the best Christmas parties I've ever been to. It was at the Curtain Club. He had fucking casino tables. He had a music lineup that was fucking, it was tits, man. John Moreland, been trying to see him for, 3 years. We tried to play a gig with him in Tulsa one time, and the fucking weather was terrible. And somehow we made it through a fucking ice storm, and John didn't make it. Hope it's John, not Josh. I'm pretty sure it's John Moreland. And then Matt the Cat, he's always a badass. And then Ben Nichols from Lucero. Heavy Hands. It was great. It was awesome. Everybody got fucking dressed to the nines. I busted out my fucking leather pants. The food was amazing. His girl Audra made these fucking brownies that were, not brownies, cupcakes. I mean, tons of fucking cupcakes. All different fucking flavors. And somebody had said that they were even vegan cupcakes. And I thought they were just fucking cracking a joke. And then my wife was like, holy shit, you can't make this stuff without butter and eggs and make it taste good. And well, they were fucking awesome. And my wife was blown away that you could make, you could bake anything without eggs or butter that tasted so well. So a minute ago, I said nothing happened this week in the shop. That was a little bit of a lie. I did. I got my tank mounted up on my pan head. Got a new fender mounted up. Still got to build the sissy bar. And debating on what kind of light and license plate I'm going to run. I've talked to a few people. I've reached out. I actually, the tank and fender I got from Throttle Addiction, and some dude named Grant said, thanks, Danger Dan, on the invoice. I don't know if he's listening to the show or not, but if you are, Grant, thanks for fucking putting that order together for me. And then I talked to the prison boys, or one of the prison guys, about their lights and license plate brackets. See, my deal is a lot of the taillights that are, you know, good pieces, you know, good solid construction, metal housing and whatnot, they don't have a license plate light on them, which isn't a big deal. You can use that taillight to magnify that license plate, but I don't need any reason for a cop to pull me over. The way I ride around, and I just don't need that excuse. Like, I need a fucking license plate light. And I was running one of those cheap AutoZone, like, bolts that holds on your license plate and is a light, and that thing's just fucking trash. Maybe somebody makes a good one somewhere. If anybody knows, let me know. Because it's, I mean, that's a good idea if it wasn't trash. All the brake lights I've been looking at, you know, Prism guys have got this square one that's rad looking, but it doesn't have like a clear lens at the bottom. All their sweet little bullet lights or just brake lights. And maybe I'm just being a pansy. And maybe those lights are bright enough if I put them in the right spot to light up that license plate. But, like I said, I don't need any fucking excuse to get pulled over. I've already got enough going on. Fucking cop sees my record. It's going to be the beginning of an episode. Whether I'm, you know, it doesn't matter how straight I'm riding, that's just going to be the beginning. But so that's what I got going on. I'm stoked about building up this flat tracking bike. There's a race in January in Belton, Texas, like on the 13th. I don't think there's a chance. There's a chance I'll have my shit ready. Maybe I can make it to that race. not sure. You know, we'll just see how things pan out. There's a lot going on. I don't know exactly what this motor is going to need to be, you know, need to have done to it. I've got a donor motor that's got some new pistons and cylinders on it. But we'll see. We'll see what kind of shape that bike's in. But yeah, let's get into this. Oliver, here you go. Oliver, thanks for having me out, man.
Hey, man. Good to see you.
This is a cool spot, man. So did this this diner, right, this little area we're in, did this come from any place notable?
No, I had this. I just had a. I got to make this booth.
Yeah.
And I've had this table forever.
Nice. I ask you that because of the Big Lebowski fucking corner.
I do. I have in the corner of the living room, I have a little corner section of the chairs from the bowling alley where they filmed the Big Lebowski.
That's pretty bad. Like, where was that bowling alley at?
In Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Yeah. Nice. And I, a couple years after they made the movie, they remodeled the whole bowling alley.
Yeah.
And it was before, there was a cult following of the movie, but it was before as big as it is now.
Oh, yeah.
So they had this auction at the bowling alley, and they sold all the interior.
Just 2 years after the movie, huh?
A couple years after the movie. I don't remember exactly how many years, but I didn't get to go. You know, I heard about it too late.
Yeah.
I was like, man, crazy. But just a few years ago, somebody posted on Facebook that had to leave LA and move in their apartment, and they had these chairs and, you know, all the credible documentation
to
show where they came from and all the stuff and all this. And they needed them gone by the next day.
Oh, shit.
And so there was
That's
like
how you
this,
get a good deal on things right there.
And so we just went, this girl that I know in LA, like, said, hey, man, you gotta check this out. And I got on there and I messaged the girl, and I was actually flying to LA that day.
No shit.
And she was like, they need to be, and by the time I got on there, they need to be out by that night.
Okay.
And I literally landed in LA. Aaron picked me up. We drove to her house, threw him in the back of his truck, and the house was empty.
No shit. Last
thing
to go.
They were leaving. And she was like, but she was trying to get money for him. And, you know, it was such like notice.
Don't say.
Like,
yeah.
you could have, given some time, you probably could have generated some more interest and got a little bit more money for him. But she's like, just make me an offer. And I made an offer. And she said, well, somebody offered, like, I don't remember how it started, but it's like, I said 500. And she said, somebody said 600. And I said, well, okay, well, I'm the 700. And she messaged back, so he said 700. He said 800. I said, okay, 900.
Oh, damn, it's a little live auction.
I said 900. And she's like, come get him. So we just went and got it.
Fortunately, we had that truck in Los Angeles at the time at our disposal immediately.
Yeah.
It was also a time factor.
Yeah. Whose truck was it?
It was his truck. The red truck, the red 71 C10 that's out there.
Nice.
And we didn't even take these things apart. We just laid them across the back of the bed. All and just. That's pretty good.
Got out of there, huh?
She lived in an apartment, and it's down some flights of stairs, and those things. Imagine carrying that thing like.
In one piece like that? Yeah.
Insane.
Down a fucking walkway that was like this skinny. On the outside, remember?
Getting them through a little gate. It was insane.
That's pretty rad.
But I'm pretty stoked. I'm a pretty humongous Big Lebowski fan.
I see all the paintings over there. Who did those? What's that guy's name?
My buddy named Hamill. He's a musician and artist. He does little folk paintings of portraits. You know, I've got a Robert Crumb and Richard Pryor and Jerry Rohn and the Dolly and a Snake Plissken portrait that he did years ago. And, he actually played our summer party here at the print shop.
Well, what's the name of his band?
It's just Hamill.
Oh,
Hamill on Trial.
His Hamill name on his band. Trial.
And he's like a spoken word genius, but he does like crazy fast rock poetry. He's pretty.
Doesn't sing just.
No, he sings too. He sings too, but he's a character. He's very satirical and comical and.
Yeah.
Puts forward a lot of opinion and emotion into his music.
Reminds me of a guy I know named Massey, William Brian Massey III.
Oh, yeah.
You know him?
Uh-uh.
He's a cook over there at Fred's, but he does spoken word poetry. He's an old punk rocker, does some fucking great art on the side. I've got a couple pieces where he's glued like fucking saltine crackers around this old piece of wood. Pretty good stuff.
Well, I hit Hamill up and I was like, hey, man, I want to get
after he played here and I was building this house, I was like, man, I need some Big Lebowski paintings, you know, because he had a dude. He had painted one of the dude.
Okay.
And I was like, man, I sent him, hey, what if I get 13 portraits? And I named off 13 characters from the Big Lebowski. Nice. And he's like, cool, I'll do it. And we're texting at like 3, 4 in the morning. And I like fall asleep. And I like wake up and I was like, well, what about this character? What about that character? And I'm gonna need Niles Harrington. Oh, I'm gonna need, you know, I'm gonna need the Larry. Toe. I'm gonna need this. And so and then I start texting him back, like, hey man, when you wake up tomorrow, give me a call. I wanna add some more characters to it. And he answered right back. And we just battled back and forth on the phone for another hour and a half. Next thing you know, I got 42 paintings of every single character that was credited in the movie, even the bartender Gary, whose face is never shown, but the painting is just of his hand handing a drink. Beer.
Or a sarsaparilla.
Yeah. You got a sarsaparilla?
Oh,
that's... Sioux City sarsaparilla.
That's awesome.
I'm drinking a Sioux City sarsaparilla right now. It's pretty good.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, I've been on the Topo Chico kick since I quit drinking about a year ago. That's been my go-to.
Well, I mean, Topo Chico's kind of hot right now, dude. It's a hot ticket.
It bums me out when I go to Walmart and they're fucking all gone. I'm like, what?
Oh, man. What? So you quit drinking a year ago?
It's been a little over a year now, yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to the good life.
Yeah, it's something all right, huh?
Dude, I love it.
It's good, yeah. How long have you been sober?
I quit drinking in 91.
91, damn it, there you go.
It's been a little while.
Yeah.
And I don't, I mean, the first couple of years was a little weird, but from then on, it's just been, you know, life in the fast lane. I don't got no need to break my stride and getting wasted.
Yeah.
So I'm doing good.
Fuck yeah, you're doing really good. Yeah, I'm in the first couple of years, and it's a little strange, you know? Like, I went fucking hermit for a while, and...
You get a lot more work done.
I've been doing a lot more.
Yeah, I do a lot more projects, a lot more art, a lot more motorcycle riding, a lot more motorcycle building, a lot more motorcycle part buying.
Yeah.
You know? You know, it's just like...
Yeah, I thought I was going to get rich when I quit fucking drinking. And no, that money just found a new place to go, man.
You just spend it. Yeah. You spend it on shit you still have the next day, though.
Exactly,
that's
yeah.
That's the difference.
It's still up there.
Like, I don't like to spend big money on things that are just expendable.
Yeah.
Like food, you're just going to shit it out the next day.
Yeah, you will.
You know, I mean, I like good food, but I don't want to, you know, I don't need to.
How long have you been riding motorcycles?
Pretty much my whole life. I've got a... YZ80 when I was 9 years old.
Yep.
I rode had go-karts when I was a kid and mini bikes. And I've just since I've been 9 or 10, I've never not had a motorcycle.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I just my parents were split, so I had motorcycles at my dad's place, and my mom would never let me have a motorcycle. You know, that whole story.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Second I graduated high school and moved out, I got my own motorcycle, which was like a, you know, Yamaha 250 street bike thing.
Nice.
That I bought for $300 in 1990, you know what I mean? 1989 or something. Maybe 98, maybe. No, it was 99. Year right after I graduated.
So you quit drinking 2 years after high school.
Yeah, man. I started, like, I was straight edge during high school.
No shit.
Like, I was just punk rock skateboarder kid, you know, and I didn't, we smoked weed a couple times. I was like, ah, it's lame, it's for losers, you know, and then we fucking got drunk a couple times, like, man, I can't skate the next day. I feel like shit. So that was the end of that.
Wow.
So then after high school, I, like, tried LSD.
Yeah.
And realized that that was my true purpose in life, at least for the next couple of years. And I just got on a, just... went down the tunnel, you know, and just raged and partied and sold drugs and drank and did every drug I could get a hold of for the next 2 years.
Damn it, so see, LSD opens you up to that, huh?
And I was just party for 2 years straight, ended up in jail, said, this sucks.
Yeah.
And then quit.
No shit. It took me about fucking 10, 15 times to go into jail to finally say that.
I mean, I went to jail a bunch, but I went to jail. I probably went to jail about maybe 20 times in that 2 years. Once you're in there, the last time I went to jail, I went to jail for 7 months, and that was long enough for me to be like, fuck, if I ever get out of this fucking place, I am never doing shit.
And it did it, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I was in there, like, I just turned 21. Like, I turned 21 after I got arrested, And so I never drank after I turned 21. No. And then I was in there, you know, and I was lucky to get in this like boot camp rehabilitation program where you're in the military jail, you know, and it's usually for people under 21. But since I just turned 21 while I was in jail, because I was in county jail for over a month, you know, going through the court and all that shit. Yep. And since my original offense of possession of LSD was a year prior that I'd been on probation for, so this like the third time I'd been arrested for a felony. And they're like, your original offense you're still on probation for, you were 18, so we could treat you as this, you could get in this rehabilitation program.
That's awesome.
So I ended up doing 3 months in the boot camp instead of, they were talking, you know, 10, 15 plus years in prison. And I just was like, deal. Get me whatever it takes. So I did the boot camp program, got out, and pretty much been straight as an arrow ever since. And there's kids in there that are like, when I get out of jail, me and my homies, we're going to roll hard, and we're going to do this, and we're going to fucking jack. Mm-hmm. And all my, you know, talking about all their cousins and uncles and homies and people that they are in with. And I'm just like, when I get out of jail, I'm going to get a job. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to buy a motorcycle.
Yeah, what did you start doing when you got out? Started the straight life.
Most of my jobs were as cooks. Or in warehouses.
Nice.
I worked at...
It's kind of hard to get away from the warehouses, huh?
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, I just, you know, working, loading trucks, or I worked at hardware stores, putting together barbecue grills. I worked at kitchens. I was a cook at Chili's and Bennigan's and Friday's and...
Damn it. All you got around, places. Huh?
Yeah. I mean, play jobs like that when you're 21, 22, it's like...
So were you drawing this whole time? Was art a passion?
I had already started tattooing.
You'd already started.
Myself and my friends with homemade equipment before I went to jail.
Okay.
And I didn't know that, at the time I didn't know that it was like a career possibility.
Yeah.
So I just, then I got out of jail and was still tattooing.
Did you do any in jail?
I did a few.
You did?
Just like staple, pick and poke stuff.
No shit.
But I did a lot of drawing for money in jail. You know, draw on people's envelopes, home to their family and girlfriends and stuff.
I've seen that done before.
You did it. So I was a hit in the big house. But I got out of jail, man. I was still tattooing my friends and stuff. And then I just ended up, you know, finding out about tattoo shops and meeting some other tattooers and learning and buying some tattoo equipment. And, you know, got a job at a shitty tattoo shop, worked there for a couple months. And this is the quick version of the story, you know. And then I met a guy named Richard Stell who has opened a shop in Dallas. And I started hanging out.
Richard Stell?
Yeah. Okay. He had Paradise Tattoo. I started hanging out there until he hired me, taught me how to tattoo.
Nice.
And then, is that about it?
Yeah.
That's the quick version.
Oh, are you still skating though, right?
Still skating a little bit. I mean, my old knees are hard to take to pounding these days but I do have plans for the spring to build ramps in the part of the warehouse in the corner over here.
Nice.
So I have a little mini ramp skate gym.
I used to come down here to Guapo quite a bit.
Oh yeah. And, I used to skate over there a little bit.
I used to love that bowl, man. They moved it somewhere recently, I believe.
Well, Mike Crumb's got his spot down Overground? Not too far from where they're, yeah. And then I don't know what happened to that Guapo bowl. I did hear they moved it, but I don't know what happened to it.
Yeah, I don't either.
Personally, I'm not huge into the bowl thing just because I grew up with just straight ramps.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of like a ramp guy.
Gotcha.
I mean, the carving thing, the California carve is something I never could really catch on to.
Did much surfing either?
Nah, a little bit. I surfed like 3 times, and I've learned very quickly that surfing is not a part-time activity.
No.
You either got to surf
you gotta stick
or give
it
up. Because you can't just go like twice and be like, I surfed.
Yeah, no. You're not going to.
You got to work out. Yeah. You got to swim for like days. And that's the other thing. I quit street skating. As soon as we built ramps and started skating ramp, I quit street skating.
Really? See, it took me a long time before I did the ramps.
My transition from street skating to ramp was like 2 months. Like,
wow.
For the first time I ever skated the ramp, 2 months later, I never skated street again.
And you were just doing like straight transition ramps, flat transition?
Just mini ramps, half pipes, vert ramps. Okay, all right. You know, all just right. I lost the need to push.
Gotcha.
When you can just drop in.
See, I didn't have access to any kind of mini ramps or nothing. Yeah. You know, I would come out. Seems like I was going to Eisenberg's. I think was the first big ramp I skated.
Well, in the '80s, we were going to Jeff Phillips Skate Park.
Yeah. See, I never went there. I only heard stories.
And it was the best.
Yeah.
And like I said, like, why are you gonna push when you can just drop in?
Yeah.
And the same with surfing. Like, I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna like paddle out, fucking 50 times. Takes 10 minutes each, and then I'm going to ride a surfboard for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I understand at that 30 seconds.
People stoked on it, yeah.
Now, I understand that 30 seconds is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But I can just go to the ramp.
Have you seen that fucking wave pool they've got down in South Texas, like by Austin?
I saw a video of it.
Yeah? Yeah, I don't even think I've seen a video.
I do like snowboarding, too.
Snowboarding is a lot of fun. You got any plans to go this winter?
I do.
Yeah?
Snowboarding's easy.
Yeah.
You just sit in a chair,
that's right.
Ride up to the top, and then just haul ass down.
It's pretty badass, yeah. I've ridden with some guys that don't even do that. You know, they fucking get out of their fucking board and walk back up, and they hit the rail or their whatever. But I've never been able to get into that. I just fucking ride the chair up to the top.
Yeah, man, I like the fun part of it. I don't go to the gym. I don't like to work out. I like to do things that are fun.
Yeah,
my exercise has to be fun or it's not going to happen.
Skating is fun and it can be fucking exercise too.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I like pumping around those bowls, man. It's like a never-ending hill, really. You know, you can just keep that speed and carving around. There's just so many opportunities. I'm not much with the tricks on the mini ramps, but those bowls are fun, man. I got a concrete one they just put in down the road from me about a year ago in Grand Prairie.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty I heard rad. About it.
Yeah.
I haven't been there. I went to the one out in, where is it? Towards Denton, from Dallas, towards Denton, Louisville, I guess.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
one. That one's pretty killer.
Yeah.
That big bowl's too big.
Yeah.
Scary as fuck.
I still love that bowl in Irving. That bowl
that's like the
really
one that's like
badass.
A swimming pool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, it's real, it's not square, it's dome. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fucking fun one. Concrete's a fucking, that's a different monster.
I like
the
mini ramp, man. I like the easy mini. I mean, now that I'm 45 years old, although I did see, on topic skateboarding, I saw yesterday posted on the internet that Tony Hawk at age 49 did landed a 900.
No shit.
But I ain't no Tony Hawk.
No, fuck that.
I'm going to stick with the mini ramps.
Did you do the full ramps? I never fucking...
Yeah, I skated vert ramp all through the late 80s and early 90s, and that was what we did.
Dude, this shenanigans from the last fucking full ramp I rode. It was pretty brutal. Hey, nice meeting you.
Take it easy, Aaron. Ronius is that's my partner / manager /... confidant Aaron Finnan. He handles a lot of crap.
Yeah, what was the radio you guys were talking about?
Oh, earlier? Man, years ago we used to have an internet radio show called Compound Radio.
Well, the
station was Compound Radio, and we had a couple people were in part of it and had different shows. My show was called Here's the Deal.
Here's the Deal.
And it was a morning show, and it was live talk show. And I used to do it from like 7 to 9 a.m.
No shit. Just streamed it over the internet.
Yeah, and it was just live stream, and you could... We never even hooked up a possibility to like download it and re-listen to it. It was live only.
That's it, huh?
And it was pretty cool, and it was like... We didn't have the... What year was this? This was probably like 2004, maybe, something like that.
Okay.
And we never had the possibility of people to like call in and their voice be on the station.
Gotcha.
But we would have people. We used IM, you know, instant messaging.
Yeah.
So you could instant message and you could do it through your phone or whatever, and it would come off the computer and people would ask questions and we'd talk and I would play. It was probably about half music and about half bullshit.
Nice.
And I would, you know, I did my normal routines of movie reviews and current events and news and talk about new music and play some music and talk about old music and play some music and take questions and, you know.
That's rad, man.
It was pretty good, man. We had a pretty good following and got pretty large. I had a lot of listeners and it's pretty easy to just like a lot of people figure out, you know, you could get on your phone and listen to it or you could listen to it if you're at work. Back then there wasn't a way to listen to it like in your car.
Gotcha, yeah.
You know. But a lot of people were listening at work.
That's cool.
And
man.
Messaging in and requesting stuff and
it's cool to interact with people actually.
It was
doing
great,
it.
Man. It was great. And a buddy of mine named Chris Davis in LA had a show that was all about psychedelic music. Okay. You know, and then my buddy Josh Lazy, who is the founder of the station, you know, ended up being his partner. He had his show a couple times, like maybe five times a week. And then we set up a couple of like pre-recorded shows to where we would like just record blocks of music and then broadcast them out.
Gotcha.
And then we had Dwayne Peters had a show on there.
Nice.
And it was like Straight to Hell with Dwayne Peters was the name of the show. Matt and Steve from
and none of this is recorded, huh? This is all just gone.
It was in the wind, man.
No shit.
If you heard it, you heard it.
Yeah.
Matt and Steve from 1100 Springs had a show on there called Country Jam Radio.
Nice.
And they did it once a week, and they ended up getting picked up and going to 95 The Range and doing their show for a while.
I think I remember that.
And then, but that started on Compound Radio.
The Range, that's not around anymore.
It's not?
I don't think so. Well, man. Fuck, maybe it is. I know that was one station I could never get in Fort Worth.
It's hard
well.
To get. It's like 95.3. If you're on one side of town, you get it. One side of town, you don't. And then we had like these other kids that I knew had a show on there called New Noise. It's all about the latest, newest, craziest, weird music. And I mean, we had, every day there were shows. You know, we had dozens of people that did shows. Yeah. Corey Parks from Nashville Pussy had a show on there, and
nice.
It went really well. And as we're building up big, we had some interest of corporate people wanting to come in and sponsor, and we turned them down and kept doing it on our own. And then we had a couple of we started looking into the option of like getting into like on an Apple podcast or getting into SiriusXM or getting into something like that, and it just. The guy, Josh Lazy, is just, he's punk rock, man.
Yeah.
And at one point he got into it with these people trying to buy in and take it and make it bigger and make it better. And he just said, one day he literally threw his computer out the window.
No fucking way.
And said, Compound Radio. He announced Compound Radio is dead and threw his computer out the window. And then I kept it going because I was broadcasting out of my house. And yeah. I kept it going for a little while. And then it just went away.
No shit.
But one summer I was on Warped Tour, and I took all my broadcasting equipment, and I set up every morning and did my show from the parking lot.
From the road,
in
Warped
Tour, because they had like a Guitar Center van that had Wi-Fi on it, so I'd go in there, and each day I'd bring a band in that was on Warped Tour, and they'd
That's
be on the show or whatever.
Fuck.
What's up, Aaron?
I need the keys to the truck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got Kyle Jewett. He does a mother's... He does a music segment every week.
Yeah.
Like he'll fucking talk about, last week it was Nashville Pussy. You know, he's done some Captain Beyond, just whatever. He picks something out and talks about it, and his show's coming up. And that's the only music that's on this one.
That's cool.
But it's fun. I didn't want to take the responsibility of picking music every week. And then
well,
I had
now,
him on.
Man, I mean, we were right on the cusp of, like, them people contacting us about playing their music.
Yeah.
And saying like, "Hey man, you're playing our music without our
without
rights." And we're like, "Hey man, we're just putting it on the internet. You know, we're not recording it, we're not selling it, we're not doing anything. It's free." So it's just this really gray area. But a lot of record labels and small indie labels were like stoked and were like, "Hey, play our music, do our shit, talk about it." You know, because and all our friends that were bands that were cool, but then. I would play Rolling Stones sometimes, you know? I was like, man, we got to play this one song. Mm-hmm. Or I would play, you know, all kinds of shit. There was no, for my show, as far as the music goes, there was literally no genre bias. Like, I would play a Sam Cooke song, and then I would play a Minor Threat song.
That's badass.
And then I would play, you know, a local, my buddy's local demo that was, like, shittily recorded in the next door. You know, like... Like, check this out, guys. You know? But,
well, that's fucking cool, man. So,
I do wish that some of that was cataloged, but man, yeah, what a whole nother nightmare. Yeah. You know what I mean? Then what do you do?
I mean, that's what I like about what I'm doing is I'll record it now and fucking put it out later. Yeah. You know, like we can just at any point in time.
But when the format that there is now for these podcasts is that you load it up and people listen to it at their leisure.
Yeah.
And it's there. It exists. Uh-huh. Somebody can always go replay that episode or whatever. Yeah.
I think it exists like that. I think if I shut my website down, then it's. I don't think it's on iTunes anymore after that. But.
But I'm saying is for the time being.
People, yeah, it's there.
It's like, yeah.
It's pretty. I just saying that because I bought this fucking hard drive
gotta
to save everything.
Gotta you know, have one like
that's the money I've spent so far is buying a really badass hard drive.
Well, there's something about that magic of the one time.
Yeah.
Only live magic.
If you know, you know.
It's like. You didn't see it? You didn't hear it? You'll never will. Yeah. It's not like... Oh, man.
You can't go check it out now.
That was the big complaint, though. Like, man...
I bet so.
I want my friend to hear that. I'm like,
yeah, because even radio shows now, they go ahead and record their shit and put it out.
Oh, yeah. Every lame morning crap bullshit that you can just go to their website.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So, we got to... You working for Richard Still and him teaching you how to tattoo, right?
Yeah.
And, how long did you work with him before you branched out and started your own?
I worked for him for a few years, about from about 93 to 96. And then in 96, I opened Elm Street Tattoo.
Nice.
And
so just him? You didn't go anyplace else? It was.
No, I worked for him, traveled the country with him, met people from coast to coast. Like, he'd been tattooing for over 25 years at the time and knew every major tattooer in the country, and I really got exposed to the world of tattooing. And you know, just I would have stayed working for him a whole lot longer. It's just situations, the way it boiled down, just like shit exploded, and the opportunity to come a part of Elm Street Tattoo arose. And you know, and this is 20 years since we opened Elm Street Tattoo this year.
Yeah.
So we got our big anniversary party this weekend. We do a big charity event where we supply toys to the foster care programs and children's homes around the Waxahachie.
And you've been doing that for 20 years now.
Been doing that for 20 years, man.
That's cool.
So,
yeah, by the time people hear this, it'll happen. Yeah.
They'll go to the 21st annual party.
There you go. So that's Saturday night. You got some bands coming to play that one, I saw. Matt Cat, I think, was on
there, right? Matt's playing. My buddy Ben from Lucero's playing. This guy John Moreland from Oklahoma's playing. Yeah. He's amazing.
We had a show booked with him one time, and the fucking weather was shitty.
Oh, man. He's so good.
He didn't make it. I was like, fuck, we drove up from Texas to Tulsa, and I don't know where he was, but I was looking forward to seeing him that weekend.
Yeah, Mike D and the Roadside Preachers are playing, and... Boys Named Sue are playing. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
It's going to be real good.
It's going to be fun. I think me and the wife are going to come out.
Well, good deal, man. Yeah, we open up. I mean, so, you know, I opened up Elm Street Tattoo and started working and started traveling. And I'm a pretty heavy traveler. I've been going, you know, I'm usually gone like at least 1 or 2 weeks a month. You know, I'd go, and I'm always going to work somewhere, or go to conventions, or go to other countries, or go to other cities, and just, it's that, you know, networking, getting out there, getting your name out there kind of thing that's just, I think it's, you know, helped me get to the point where I'm at as far as, like, people knowing who Elm Street Tattoo is and who I am.
Yeah, you got people, I imagine, that travel from all over the world, too, to come to Elm Street.
Oh,
since
yeah.
Since you've been out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we also have other artists from all over the world working at Elm Street. We usually have a guest artist from somewhere in the country every single week.
Oh, no shit. That regular, huh? That's cool. Yeah, I brought up the idea to a couple people about the next tour I want to do would be on motorcycles with a fucking guitar and a couple guys at tattoos and just do shows,
man,
like
do you
at
know
the
about
tattoos.
This?
And they keep saying that Oliver's been doing it, and I'm like, holy shit. Yeah, I mean, so is that what you guys do? Do you play at the tattoo shops, or is there like a show separately?
No, we so it's me and Ben Nichols from Lucero, and we call it the Bike Riders Tour. This year, this June, we did it, and it was the fourth year that we've done it. So, we've done it every summer.
We've already been doing it for 4 years. That's awesome.
Done it every summer, and we usually do between, this year I think we did 12 cities. We usually do about 10 or 12 or 13 cities.
Cool.
And we just pull into town. It's like, I got my motorcycle with my tattoo gear. He's got his bike with his guitar strap on the back.
Yeah.
Pull into a town, go straight to the tat shop, meet the dudes, get some food, do two or three tattoos. And we book it to where the venue and the tattoo shop are pretty close.
Nice.
You know, we know somebody in almost every town or city, or we book the towns that we do know somebody.
Yeah.
And then we roll over to the venue, set up. Ben plays an acoustic show, usually with a local opener or something, and then we party all night, and then we get in the next morning and ride to the next city.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, this year was great. We went through our main hook was Denver. We started in Dallas, went to Denver, ended in Memphis.
Nice.
So we did a big loop around, went all up through New Mexico. And
in June, that's a great time to get up there.
Man, in Telluride, we got snowed on.
Really?
And it was, I mean, it was cold and snowing. And it started out, we were going up the mountain.
What are you guys riding, first off?
I'm riding my Electric Glide, just a 2013 police bike.
The white one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Last year, I mean, I've ridden every year is an Electric Glide police bike. This is the first year I rode my new one. My buddy Aaron's on a, what is it? Just a bagger, I don't know what it's called. It's not an Electric Glide. It's the same thing, though. It's just like
Street Glide or
yeah,
Road Glide.
I think it's well, what the fuck? Lost it. But we have a couple friends that went with us. Our buddy Josh was on an FXR. Nice. Ben's on like a BMW, like 1200, like a RS.
So there's four of you guys?
And then, well, this year it people come in and jump on and off. A buddy of mine went about half of it, and he was on a Bonneville. Another buddy of ours got on, and he was on a just on a Softail. And then Stefano and Mike Glaze came out and rode through Colorado with us.
Nice.
And they were with us when it snowed.
Yeah.
They're on like this kind of choppery, and they were miserable. Like, they didn't, like, I had gear, rain gear and everything. They didn't have shit. They were soaking wet. We're going up the mountain to tell you that, like, that pass that goes over, crosses into Telluride from Durango to Telluride. It's one of the most amazing highways that goes over that pass. Whereas we're going up the hill, it's getting fucking cold. Get to the top of the fucking mountain, it's fucking freezing and starting to rain a little bit. On the way down to the Telluride, it is just fucking snowing.
Damn it.
Like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And we're fucking, I mean, I was geared up and cold.
Yeah.
Dude, those fuckers,
they didn't have nothing, huh?
Dude, I had boot covers, heated hand grips, fucking,
oh, no
you know?
Way.
And dude, those fuckers were just like, we got where we're going to get gas, and they're just like, they can't even like open their fucking, they can't even get their credit card out of there.
Yeah, and that's I'm just how like, was the other night.
I'm like, oh my God, this shit is in, it's June, motherfucker. But we, and dude, the next month, me and my girl, we rode to Yellowstone in July, got snowed on.
Oh, you guys got snowed on that trip,
yeah.
Huh? I think I remember that.
Jesus.
Because I met up with you guys, or not met up with you, but I was there at Love Thy Chopper when you guys rode in. And you guys had been out for how long at that point?
Like, probably like 10 days.
10 days?
Yeah, we did that trip, including that Love Thy Chopper trip, we went like 13 states.
Nice. That's a good ride.
It was good, man. That was the longest ride she'd ever done on her bike.
Really?
So she did great. It was killer.
She loved it, huh?
Oh, yeah.
And did you tattoo on that one, or that was just you two riding off? And
no tats on that one, man. That was vacation.
That's awesome.
I mean, Bike Riders Tour, it's like vacation, but it's work.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's, to me, It's you know, that work, and I always make work fun anyway.
Right.
You know, always make an event or make it a party or party at night and tattoo all day or vice versa. But, the Love That Chopper shit was cool. But twice this summer got snowed on. Insane.
That's crazy.
Totally insane.
Yeah, that Bike Riders tour sounds fun. And it's just the two of you guys. No other musicians or tattoo artists go with you?
No. This year, my buddy Josh Williams, he was a tattooer. He went with us. He tattooed pretty much every city.
Nice.
Is that me?
Yeah.
Pete Freeman. Yes. All right. But, yeah, he tattooed almost every city, too. We've had some talk about the guy, one of the guys from Old Heavy Hands, Nate. He's a bike rider too, man. He wants to get on the tour.
Yeah.
So he's gonna try to cozy up to Ben this weekend and try to see if he can get on the tour. But I mean, it's kind of a thing that there's room for people to get on. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because you're on your own bike. You're on your own terms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we always have local bands that are booked, so we could just book bands that are coming with us if people wanted to come.
Yeah.
So it's definitely open to expand. But it's a lot. I mean, that is literally, and Aaron goes with us on that too. He tour manages that whole tour and he rides a bike on it. But that is literally our favorite thing that we've done the last couple of years.
Dude, it's fun.
Because it's everything you want to do. Because mm-hmm. I'm tattooing and working.
Yeah.
We're partying, raging partying every single night. Yeah. It's out of control. Because every night we're in a new city with new friends. We book the cities where we have friends. You know what I mean? So it's like, it just goes hard every night. And then, you know, Ben's playing music every night, which is the best. Because he's my favorite
mm-hmm.
musician. And it's just, it's unbelievable.
It's awesome. I did a little over 30 days one time with my band, and I took my bike. And I didn't tour in that truck again after that. Every time we went on the road, I was on my bike with my guitar and my skateboard.
Well, if you route it to where, like, you can honestly, you can get a lot further between shows in a tour bus or a van or whatever. But man, I mean, we just play a lot of smaller, you know, play Wichita, Kansas, you know, and it's, mm-hmm. you know, small
Kirby's Beer Store
sold out, you know what I mean? Like, the Bike Riders Tour's gotten every show sold out.
It's awesome.
It's pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah, Ben's pretty well known. Really good. Really good.
This next year, for 2017, we're planning to start in Memphis and go all the way to Maine.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
That's more than 12 shows,
and
huh?
What we're going to do is we're starting in Memphis because Ben's biking in houses in Memphis, but he's newly married with child and new house in Ohio.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to start in Memphis and cook it to Ohio, maybe a couple just long ride days.
Gotcha.
And then our shows are going to start and do mostly New England. Like, just, like, get out of Ohio, which is pretty close to where we can be in Pennsylvania pretty quick, and then just do Pennsylvania up to Maine and do probably 10 or 12 shows in that run. New England Tour. I've never been all the way up to
never
the
ridden
tip.
Up there.
I've ridden through.
It's good to go, man.
Thanks, bud.
I'll see you later.
We'll see you soon. I've ridden through Niagara Falls, and I've been into Boston, and I've been in upstate New York, and but I've never been all the way up to Maine. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been up there. Upstate New York, I had a skateboard race years ago, but fucking flew in, rented a cab or a car or something. I don't know what the fuck we did. A bunch of drugs and alcohol, I know that.
But even just riding that, like, across the top, the border up there, like, last year I rode to New York, and I went the long way around. I went straight up through Ohio all the way up to the top, and then took a right and went all the way across to Niagara Falls, and then dropped down into Boston and met my buddy Forrest, and then went to New York from there, because I had a couple days to just get out there.
Just rolling hard, huh?
I love those long solo trips.
Most of the traveling I've done has been solo.
I love it, man. I mean, I love a group of a handful of bikes too, but you know, when there's nobody else to decide, it's pretty nice.
Fuck yeah, it is.
Like, I'm just gonna keep going.
You roll with tunes?
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I got speakers in my helmet, so I can. I would say it's about half and half.
Yeah.
I do a lot of thinking. Yeah, I do a lot of talking to myself.
I didn't listen to music for a long time, and one of the last trips I was on, I was listening to, I think, Sturgill Simpson's last album. Dude.
The baby album?
The what?
The baby album?
No, the one before that.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And the baby album. But I was on the way
I understand you had a baby.
Yeah.
You know, I understand you're really excited about that baby. And I know you want everybody else to be as excited about that baby as you are.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking about one or two songs.
Really, man? I dug that whole album.
The whole album?
Yeah, the whole album.
I could have done with a few...
maybe because I just had a kid, too.
I could have done with a few songs that were different.
Different, huh? Oh, man, I thought it was
the
great,
whole
man.
Baby album? You're going to write a whole album? It ain't going to be...
What I was getting at is I put that fucking last album on, and, dude, I missed the turn after turn. I was jamming.
Running out of gas.
I'd look up, and I'd be like, fuck, I'm so far from where I was supposed to be. Running out of gas.
Damn it.
So I don't do that very often.
I did about half the time, man. I can get into a groove and, like, just pump through, you know, especially if once you start getting weary, you can just, like, crank it up and just jam. And,
yeah.
Oh, I need to make another 200 miles. Let's do this. But
what's the longest you've gone in a day?
I've done a little over 1,000.
Nice.
But I mean, me and Audra did like fucking. I remember, like, we did almost 900, and she has not ridden. This is her first big long cross country trip, and we're like, let's keep going. I think we went.
Well, the first day, didn't you guys just take off and go all the way to El Paso?
No, first day we went to Albuquerque.
Albuquerque. Damn it.
Dallas to Albuquerque one day. That's like 800 miles or some shit.
I did Tempe to Weatherford. That's probably the longest stretch.
But me and my buddy Jason Quigley. You know Jason Quigley on Stream Machines? We were on a coming home from a ride, and we had a group of people with us, and we were coming back from California. And we rode all day, man, all day. And we got to Amarillo. And everybody was like, Amarillo is where we were going to split.
Gotcha.
We were going to come to Dallas and other people were going to head north. And so everybody's getting a hotel. And we were getting gas, talking about what hotel to get. And me and Jason were just like, I could drive a little further. You know? And then we rode another couple hundred miles, got gas again, and we're like, so we could either sleep here or we could wake up in the morning and ride in the daylight traffic and get home, or we could just ride now and get home at like 4 or 5 in the morning before traffic. And, and we're like, fuck it, let's just do it. And we just kept going.
That's bad.
And that day we did like, I don't remember the exact number, but it was like one of those 1,000-mile days. And I was on my electric glide. He was on a road glide, and we were just... Once we left everybody else...
Oh, yeah, turned it up.
We were just cooking it, you know? You know, middle of nowhere.
I mean, that's a good stretch by itself, Amarillo to fucking Dallas.
Middle of nowhere, 2 in the morning, we're just like... You know, you hit those small towns, like... Slow down to 40 for a second, and... And both of our bikes could do 250 plus without getting gas.
I've never been on a bike that could go that far.
Yeah, we can get 250 miles on a gas tank, so we're just fucking... And, dude, that fucking electric glide, dude, it fucking rides itself.
Oh, shit.
I mean, I'm fucking, like, I got a bunch of motorcycles, you know what I mean? Yeah. I fucking ride to Fort Worth, and I'm fucking sore and butt tired, you know what I mean? I ride to fucking Vegas on that fucking electric glide, and I'm ready to party. The second I get there,
that's awesome.
I don't need a nap. I don't need to fucking change clothes. I don't need to do nothing. I'm just pull straight up to the front door of the casino, jump out and go inside and start gambling. Like, let's do this! Like, I don't even have to get... I've ridden 200 miles, pulled up to the gas pump, and just not even get off the bike. Put more gas in and then go. Another 200 miles.
Holy shit.
Because it's just so comfortable. You know what I mean? It's like, there's no...
So that's the go-to, huh?
There's no adversity to it.
Yeah.
Because there's no wind beating you up. You're not holding on real tight. You're just relaxing. And it's comfortable.
See, I'm just starting to get into that with the FXR. I just put the RT fairing on it. I'm starting to find out that fairing is pretty badass when you're rolling down the road.
How much with just out without the wind hitting your head makes a huge difference.
It's pretty crazy.
Like, because normally you're like holding your head straight and from the wind. And I was the guy that was like, I ain't getting no, you know, I was so anti fucking the old man bike and the bagger and the fairing and the windshield and all that pussy shit. You
I think I'm
like,
sliding in there with
the
FXR.
Fuck that shit. And then I fucking rode one and I was like, I'm getting one of these.
Yeah.
For sure. And if I'm going to ride around town or ride to work and kick it and party and zip around and be cool on my chopper or whatnot, you know what I mean? I love it. It's fun.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to go, you know, 600 miles a day for 2 weeks, I'm going to be on the fucking comfortable fucking bike, dude.
Yeah, I haven't done any big trips on my chopper. I've gone from, like, northern New Mexico to Weatherford, which is a good little haul, but
I mean, I've ridden a couple of my older bikes to Austin.
Yeah.
For the River Run and for the Giddy Up. Yeah. You know, I rode my 66 for the Giddy Up the first year, and I rode my 71 down the River Run a couple times, and it's cool, but I'm like doing, you know, the speed limit or less.
Yeah.
And I'm fucking tired. It's a fucking workout. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck. Riding to Austin is a fucking workout.
Oh, that's not too bad.
I mean,
The other night on that
on the extended narrow glide front end with pullbacks, it's like, you know, you're just like,
beats you up a little bit.
You're sore.
Yeah.
I mean, you can handle it. It's fun. It's great. It's worth it. But,
yeah,
you know, I'm not trying to fucking do that fucking. It's too, I mean, Ryan, when I rode across, the last couple of years I've done coast to coast pretty much every year. You know, I've ridden one or two trips. One I go to East Coast, one I go to West Coast, okay, and back and forth. And it's just, when I'm out riding and going across the country and seeing everything, it's just so nice to just really enjoy everything else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's, I mean, it's, I like that part of the ride. I just like being out. I just like seeing the country and cruising and being carefree and living a dream.
Yeah.
You know, but I also like having old motorcycles and fucking with them and kickstarting them.
Being on a long trip where you're not worried about the bike, you're not fighting the wind, you can enjoy everything around you.
It's just
as well as being.
It's
in
like
the wind.
Vacation, man. It's great, and I love it. I mean, I love every kind of. I like every kind of motorcycle. You know, like I don't.
Every kind of motorcycle.
I have a sport bike that I haven't ridden in years because it just been arrested too many times, going too fast. And that's the other thing about everybody, like the whole going fast thing. It's like, I was into it for a long time and souping up everything and trying to. Now I'm just like, every motor I've built in the last, not me personally built, but had built or built, put a bike together is as stock as it could be.
Yeah, just reliable. Just fucking.
You know, I got.
That's how I do it.
And that's the thing is like, people are talking about, oh, my bike's souping it up. I'm like, why? It's a fucking shovel head. What are you going to do? Yeah. Like, if you want to go fast, there's other motorcycles
that's
out
exactly
there.
Exactly right, yeah.
But it's just not.
Yeah, I never had a street bike, but I know I would enjoy going fast to some extent. I mean, I rode from El Paso to here going about 120 the whole fucking way.
Yeah,
but fighting the wind, you know, I just had to be back. You know, it was.
I mean, on my street bike, man, I have a Daytona 900, a 996 fucking sport bike.
What do they call it, a leader bike?
You just lay down on that thing, put your chin on the tank, and you got no wind. You know, you're just, you know, they call it a crotch rocket because that's what it is, dude. It's fucking insane, and I've, you know, it'll.
How fast have you been on that?
175-ish. It's hard to really, really tell.
Yeah.
Because taking a moment to look at the speedo, you have to glance a few times, and it's like teetering between like 175, 180.
That's insane.
But it's fucking fast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the bike is fucking insane. I mean, at 130, you're still kind of chilling.
Damn it.
You know what I mean? Like at 130, you can still.
You can do that for a while, huh?
At 130, you still have one more gear.
Wow.
Because it'll do about 125, 130 in fifth gear, and then you got sixth gear.
Damn it.
So you can open it up at 130 and feel it. And it's like, you feel it pulling. But it's just, like I said, I've been arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Three times, just straight to jail. Pull just over, straight to jail. Just for going too fast. Double the speed limit, you go straight to jail.
Oh, wow. So that is true. I've heard
it's
that.
It's true.
Never tested it.
It's true. I was coming back from Austin in the middle of the night and doing who knows what. The cop pulled out behind me, and I never saw him. Past the cop.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't see the cop. I'm just going. Cop pulls out behind me to pull me over. I never see the cop mm-hmm. behind me.
Yeah, you're not looking.
I mean, if you think about it, if I'm doing 140-ish, and it takes the cop 15 seconds to get onto the highway,
yeah,
I'm half a mile away.
Yeah, at least.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? I'm gone.
Yeah.
If it takes him a minute, I'm 2 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if he gets on the road and gets up to 120 to chase me,
he's pissed.
By the time he's doing 120, I'm literally gone. So I'm going. I pass the cop in Waxahachie. And I get into right before Oak Cliff, and there's a roadblock set up.
No fucking way.
Yeah, I see the fucking, I pull over the hill, and I see fucking lights everywhere. I slow down. I'm like, oh, something's going on up there. Better slow down. So I slow down the speed limit. And I pull up, and the highway's closed. So I'm like, damn, highway's closed. Better exit. So I exited the highway. And I hit the service road, and I'm down to 35 miles an hour on the service road, just going. And all the cops on the highway scramble and drive up the grass and surround me on the service road.
What the fuck were they thinking?
And I'm just man, what the fuck's going on? So then they gaffle me up and treat me like I'm fucking, who knows what,
yeah,
And
they were fucking pissed.
Yelling and jumping, grab me, throw me on the ground, handcuff me, and then a few minutes later, the cop that from Waxahachie catches up.
Oh, he finally gets there.
And he's he grabs me and takes what are you running for? I'm what do you mean? And he's well, you're running. I'm oh, I don't know what you mean by running. He's well, I was trying to pull you over. I was well, I never saw you. And he's I was well, I was going fast.
Yeah.
And I just kept going fast. I didn't go faster.
Yeah.
I was just and he's well, how fast were you going? I was I don't know. And he said, well, I was doing 120 and I never caught up to you. And I was I said, this is where I fucked up. Yeah. I said, I guess I was going faster than that. So they wrote me the ticket for 121 because I admitted
that I was going, damn it,
that I was going faster than 120. And so the speed limit was 60. So yeah. I went straight. So they took me to jail. It was a fucking night. And they charged me with endangering the lives of public officials.
Oh, my God.
Which was, insane. I had to do 30 days in Waxahachie jail.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
No fucking way. Didn't even know he was chasing you.
I got two from... Oh, I had a lawyer. We went. They dropped the evading arrest charge down to whatever, but yeah. I had to do they kept the charge that they kept was the endangering the lives of public officials by inciting a chase or some shit. I was I didn't ask anything. I didn't incite it. I was just going. But anyway, so 30 days in Waxahachie jail. I mean, two for one. So I only did 15 days.
Nice.
But it was pretty funny.
That is really funny.
I mean, there's
what's funny is they set up that roadblock at the exit there.
Yeah.
With the option.
Well, the roadblock was, it was probably quite a ways from the exit to the roadblock.
Okay.
But I could just tell, the road just looked, there's lit up, 10 cars all across the road. I'm look, something, that road don't look good. So I exited. But it was pretty funny.
Oh, man.
They had the dogs really out. They thought I was running drugs.
Yeah, you're just sober as can be.
Dude, I was in Austin getting tattooed.
Yeah.
I got a tattoo on my thigh, 6 hours worth of a tattoo on my leg. And I was wrapped in saran wrap and just bleeding like a stuck pig.
No way.
So all down my... I got tattooed, 6 hours, ate dinner, got on my bike, rode back to Dallas. And my fucking sock is full of blood from the, so they're just like, now that, then they're searching me. I was like, hey, I'm like, what's it? I was like, man, want to be careful there. Yeah. Don't touch. Why? What's there? I'm like, ah, it's bloody. Why? What's going on? And they're like, so then I had to go to jail and like unwrap this fucking tattoo and get washed and shit. And they're just like, and then it was just a nightmare. That was fucking insane.
Yeah. That's not where you want to have an open wound like that or be bleeding everywhere.
Dude, the best, I mean, I was only in jail for a few hours there because obviously, you know, you bail out and then go to court later. But,
yeah.
When I did go back to jail in Waxahachie for the 15 days, the funniest part about the story is one of the police officers, Waxahachie police officers, they take my all my belongings and put them into the, they hold them while I'm in jail and then when I get out, they give them back to me. One of the police officers took my Sears card out of my wallet and went to Sears and bought a bunch of shit.
No fucking way.
And bought a bunch of shit with it.
While you were in jail.
While I was in jail. And I'm like, wait a minute. I didn't buy this shit. So I like protested it. And they ended up dropping the charges off my Sears card. And I was like, I was in jail at that time. And they ended up like, they ended up finding out that it was the that it was one of the police officers that did it, and they had him on camera. But what they did, I don't know. Somehow they just dropped the charges on my card, and he never got any kind of like
no way
repercussions for it. And I was like, what do we got to do?
Yeah,
and like there's nothing you can do. That like they came in and like whatever.
I wonder how many times he'd done that before he got caught.
I don't know how. I mean, a fucking Sears card with like a fucking. Back then, I probably had like a $400 limit on my Sears card. You know, it's the only credit card I had. Man, I better answer this phone call real quick.
Well, dude, that's it, man. We got an hour in. You got shit to do to get ready for this party tonight, man. We'll do it again.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hello? Oh, I'll call him right back.
You got anything else you want to say? I'm going to wrap it up.
Well, man. Yeah, let me know what you want to do again.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate it, man.
All right.
All right, well, that was awesome. Thanks again, Oliver. And I was thinking about what Kyle said. Kyle called him Oliver Peck. I was calling him Oliver Pecker. I don't even know what his fucking name is, you know? Oliver Pecker. Don't know, but you can find him on Instagram at Oliver Pecker. And follow him. Maybe you can catch the Ramonas sometime. I'll get him in here again, and we will talk about the Ramonas, the throwdown, and everything else, Oliver Pecker. Tonight, Stephen Bates is coming over. We're going to talk about what he's got going in his shop. He's got a couple builds going. One bike, JP was telling me, he's building for the Run to Raton, which is awesome. Because I'm going to be there, and you're going to be there. And it's rad that he's, you know, the Run to Raton isn't even a bike show. It's more of just a fucking run, which is probably one of my favorite things about it, is going to be a bunch of riding involved. But it's rad that Steven's building a fucking bike for it. So we'll talk to him about that. If you guys haven't heard about the Run to Raton, you need to get on Instagram and follow at Run to Raton. There might be an underscore in there. I don't think so. Or at JP Rodman. I think there's an underscore in there as well. And at Chopper Supply, you can find information at all three of those places. And Boogie East in March. That'll be the first one. The first big show of the spring is going to Daytona. Annie Oakley Saloon, March 17th. And I'm trying to figure out how this trip's going to go. I'm still, you know, I got a rough game plan. And because you got Giddy Up right after that. So, and I'd like to get out to Daytona soon enough to see that board track race that Bacon was talking about that Billy Lane is putting on, because that sounds rad as fuck. And then there was a handful of other parties that Bacon was talking about that some of his friends are having out there. So that's what we got going. It seems like I'm forgetting something. Yeah, Run to Raton. Annie Oakley Saloon, March 17th. Merry fucking Christmas. I'll be back at you. Let's see. I think we'll get one more podcast in before the year's over. And maybe we can get some fucking New Year's Eve party plans going on. Yep, one more before the year's over. And that will be Stephen Bates. And fuck, I guess I need to do another one for the week after that. I don't have anybody planned for next week. But I'm going to New Mexico, so I got some good people up there I need to get on here. I don't even know where to start up there. I'm not even, I still got to finish a job here in town before I can go. I'll try not to leave y'all hanging the last or the first week of the year, but you never know. I might just have to do a solo episode. Ha! That ain't happening. Look, I'm at fucking 21 minutes and there's a bunch of gaps in there, and that's just the intros. So, yeah, I guess I probably could talk for a fucking hour. But I won't! Anyways, thanks for tuning in. You can follow me on Instagram at DangerDanimal. I think there's a Facebook page. DangerDansTalkShop.com. You can find shit on there as well. Hey, Merry fucking Christmas.
Good.